Okay, we're starting 14 lines up on the bottom of Zayin Amud Bet. Samalei Rav Acha Bar Miumi Le'Abaye. We had all these memros from Nachum Amadi, and then they say, listen, drop that. They're not accepting anything that's said in his name. It says, Gavra Abba Atamatrin. We have this big name, Nachum Amadi, comes from our place, Madai. Kol Milto Damar. Anything that's said in his name, Amrilei, Nishtaka Adavar V'lo Ne'emar. Hey, forget about it. It was never said. That wasn't right. No.
So Rav Acha Bar Miumi is basically asking, is there anything where we hold like Nachum Amadi? So along comes Abaye, and Abaye says to him, yes, there is one place where we hold like him.
So Amar, Ikechado Davinan Kabate, there is one thing that we do like him, that we pass him like them. What is it? The Tanya, we have a Braisa, Nachum Amadi Omer, Shoel Adam Tzrachav B'Shomea Tfilah. That a person is permitted to ask any of his needs, any of his wants, in the bracha of Shomea Tefillah. I mean, the Shomea Tefillah is an all-encompassing, all-capturing bracha, and therefore if someone has a request they want to make, they can do it in the bracha of Shomea Tefillah. Amar bar mino dahai, except for that one, meaning that excluding this one, because the Talyav Ashley Rabaveh, because that, his position here, is connected with Ashley Rabaveh. So Rashi brings two interpretations. Either it means strong rope, very, very strong ropes, or tall trees. Either way, it means that he is now connected to Talmidei Chachamim. His position is in the same vein as some great Chachamim. And therefore, this position we will hold like him.
Rav Acha Bar Miumi says back to Abaye, this doesn't really count. So the reason that we're holding like it is because someone else backstops or is the one who promotes this position. But it's not really an endorsement of something that Nachum Amadi had said.
The Tanya. So here's a fundamental machlokas about whether it's better to do Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu first and then ask for one's tzrachav, or the other way around. So Rabbi Eliezer says, Shul Adem tzrachav, first a person should ask for his needs, v'achar kach yitpalel, then give shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shenemar, because it says, tefillah le'ani ki atof, v'lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. For the tefillah le'ani is that, what does he need? In that tifat nafsho, as Rashi says, is da'agad libo, that the ani pours out whatever his needs are, and then, lifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. And only afterwards does he shofech sichot, does he say his tefillah. Ve'en tzicha tefillah. We know that tzicha means tefillah. Shenemar. Ve'yetze Yitzchak lasuach basadeh. The Yitzchak went out to lasuach, which the Gemara learns in other places. It's interesting here that the Gemara is saying, oh, how do we know that the word sichot by here, this pasuk is tefillah? Because by Yitzchak it says lasuach. But when the Gemara asks about Lasuach Basadeh Yitzchak, they don't know that that means Tefillah. They actually use the next pasuk that's going to be quoted, which is Eshpach Lufanav Sichi. That's how they prove that Siach is also Tefillah. Tosfos says it's a Tzricha. That you need both of these psukim. One to teach you that Sicha means Tefillah. The other one to teach you that it's not just any time. That it's Lifnot Erev, that there's a fixed time, which is Tefillah Tamincha. It's just interesting that the Gemara now learns, just assumes that we know that Siach is Tefillah, and therefore is able to use it as a limud over here. So there you see the structure is first ask your needs, then pour out your heart, have your Tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua Meir, the opposite. Itpalel, v'achar kach yishal tzrachov. You should first daven, and then ask for your needs, meaning that you should give Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then only afterwards you should make requests of your own needs. Shenemar, it says, Eshpoch lefanav sichi. So that's the first is sichi is the tefillah. First I should pour out my tefillah, meaning my shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then afterwards, tzarati lefanav agid. I will tell him all my need, all that which is hurting me, all that is bothering me, all the things that I need, I will go and express. So Umar says, Rabbi Eliezer, nami aktiv eshpoch lefanav sichi. What does he do with the pasuk of Rabbi Yeshua? So Achin Kamar, he reads the pasuk of Rabbi Yeshua this way. Eshpoch lefanav sichi. When will I pour before him my tefillah? Bizman shir tzarati lefanav agid. At the moment, or the time that I've poured out my heart from what my needs are, then I'll do my tefillah. A loose reading, and you're going to see in a second, then Rabbi Yeshua, nami aktiv, tefillah le'ani ki atof. What does Rabbi Yeshua do with the pasuk of Rabbi Eliezer? Achi Amar, eima tai tefillah le'ani. When is the time for the tefillah le'ani? Bizman shir lefnei Hashem, yishpoch sicho. The ani should express his needs, right, or is what his desires are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the moment that he shpoch sichot, that he's having his tefillah. So Mara says, Michtei cry, lo kemar daiki, ve lo kemar daiki. I mean, yeah, these are both strained interpretations of the opposite pasuk. It's true, there is a stira in the psukim, and you have to read one of them in a more strained way, but that means that there's no muchrach, neither the psukim are muchrach, either like Rabbi Eliezer or like Rabbi Yoshua. So therefore, b'mai k'miftege. What are they arguing about then? It's, their proof cannot be from the pasuk, because the pasuk is not mukhrach, and you have the other pasuk, which says just the opposite. And either one's going to have to interpret the other person's pasuk to read in a more strained fashion. So that can't be the basis of their machlokes. So what is it? K'dorish Rabbi Simlai. It's based on, the machlokes here is based on what Rabbi Simlai says. The Dorish Rabbi Simlai l'olam, he said, the adam shefachol shel makom v'chachach yitpalel. First the person shall lay out the shevach al kodesh baruch hu, and then only afterwards make his requests, ask what he needs. How do I know this? Minolan mi Moshe Rabbeinu. We know this from Moshe Rabbeinu Shenamar. When Moshe comes to beg to be allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael, he says, Hashem Elukim, ata hechelot ola rot et abdecho. You came, you began to show me all of this beautiful stuff, and he's giving praise to a kodesh baruch hu, and then uchti batrei. And after it says, Ebrana veret ha'aretz ha'tovah, he says, let me go see this beautiful land. So only after Moshe lays out the praise of a kodesh baruch hu does he make the personal request of being allowed to enter into Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Rabbi Yeshua believes Yalfinan mi Moshe. So Rabbi Yeshua is pretty straightforward. Moshe laid out for us the structure of tefillah, and therefore we learn from Moshe. First we lay out the shevach and kodesh baruch hu, and only afterwards do we what? Then we ask for our own needs. Rabbi Eliezer Savar lo Yalfinan mi Moshe. We do not learn from Moshe. Why? Shani Moshe. Derav Guvrei. Right, Moshe, we're unable to learn from Moshe because Moshe is a unique character in Jewish history. He has a unique standing, and to say that Moshe will be the paradigm of tefillah is very difficult. Moshe talks to Hashem wherever he wants. Right, he has access, his behavior, everything about him is unique. That's what Rashi says. The Rav Guvrei is gedolat ma'asav. His actions are tremendous. V'chachmato rabah. And his unbelievable wisdom. And therefore it's appropriate for Moshe to give Shevach first. So that he should be the one who gives praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That makes sense. A normal person to give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who are you to come and give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We have that same problem. The Gemara in Brochos deals with it in the same vein, which is, how do we begin Shevach? How do we know what Shevach to say HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How could you limit the Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So what do? We use Moshe again as the paradigm. Akel, Agadol, Agibor, Ban Nora, our Shevachot that Moshe Rabbeinu used, and therefore we copy Moshe. So we know that Moshe has that unique ability or standing where he can lay out the Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For anybody else to step in and give Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is Mechsei Kiyura, that is considered to be, right? Haughtiness. How could we even think that we have the ability to do such a thing? So we can't copy Moshe. We can't use him as a paradigm. The Chachamim omrim, lo ki divrei zeh, lo ki divrei zeh. Neither of them are right. Ela shoel adam tzorchav bishomea tefillah. Then a person asks his tzorchav when it comes to shomea tefillah. Amri Yehuda Brei, the Rav Shmuel, Barshilat Mishmei the Rav. Afal pisha amru shoel adam tzorchav bishomea tefillah. Even though a person can ask for his tzorchav bishomea tefillah. Aval, in Balo Mar Besov Kol Bracha Bracha Me'in Kol Bracha Bracha Omer. If a person wants to, in the context of each bracha, then ask for that particular item. We're going to have examples of this in a second, but say Rufua. Someone does it in the bracha of Rofei Cholei Amo Yisrael. You want for Panasa, he should do it in the bracha of Bevarei Chashanim. Rashi brings two examples. It's interesting, Rashi's examples are Me'ya Mishakeach Talmudo. If a person is forgetting his learning, Marich v'chonei nadat. He should go with chonei nadat. Im bal tshuvahu. If he's a bal tshuvahu, marich v'rotzei b'tshuvah. That's the two that Rashi brings as an example. But the idea being that if it's thematically connected, you're permitted to ask within that bracha what you need. On the other hand, shomea tefillah is an all-encompassing bracha that allows you to ask for anything, and the context is not important anymore. You can say whatever you want because it's such a broad, capturing bracha. So that's a good question. So let me finish, and then we'll talk about it in a second. Some Rabbi Chia Bar Ashi Amarav, Afu Pishar Mushal Adam Sokha Bishmei Tefillah, Mishlo Chule B'toch B'Deh Omer B'Birkat Cholim, Im Tzarech L'Parnasa Omer B'Birkat Hashanim, which is what with the examples we gave, and then Rabbi Yishu Ben Levi. Afu Pishar Mushal Adam Sokha B'Moshmei Tefillah, Aval Im Balomar Achar Tefillato, Afilu K'Seder Yom HaKippurim Omer, he wants to, after his Tefillah, then do like Seder Yom Kippurim, which is what we do. We have all the vidui that we say at Yom Kippurim in the Shemoneh Esrei is all done after we finish tefillah. We say Baruch Atah Hashem Avrecha Tamo Yisrael B'Shalom. Then we say Yulor Atzon Imrei Fi Ve'Gol B'Fenech Hashem Tzuri B'Goli. We end tefillah and then we begin Elokeinu B'Lokei Avoteinu. And then we begin this whole long we'll call it tefillah, but a whole long vidui that we do after is a marach tefillah k'yom ha-kippurim. Tosfos asks over here, what do you mean, marach tefillah k'yom ha-kippurim? Well, what's the limitation here? What is the implications from here are that a person only at the end of tefillah could be marach in that way. But be'emsa tefillah, that a person is not permitted to be marach in that way. That if you really want to go into a significant tefillah, a significant request, that has to be done at the end of tefillah, at the end, but not during the tefillah itself. So Tosfos asks you here, mashma, aval be'emsa tefillah tolo, that you can't do that. Umash nagu ata b'taniyot bet vehe, b'hab. What do we do now today? B'hab, shenu agim la'rich b'psukei derachme, u'b'slichot b'birkot salach lanu. That we have all these long issue or items that we bring up, that we do p'sukei derachme, and then slichot and birkot salach lanu. Ikala meimar, the tzibur shiny. When it comes to the tzibur, it's different. Mida hava adam rinon, al yishol adam trachav, lo begimel rishonot, lo begimel achronot. We know there's a principle that a person may not make any requests in the first three brachot, and in the closing three brachot. I mean, all the requests you have to make are in between, are in the brachot in between. So, he has va, come on, we should know who krovets, begimel rishonot, we do the krovets, right, whether it's for the Arba Parshiot, when it's Shabbos Agodol, or Shabbos Shuvah, they do all these special insertions into the tefillah. How can we do that even in the Gimel Rishonot? So, Lav Shema Minu, the Tzibur Shaini. But the Tzibur is different. That's what we do also in Yom HaKippurim. Meaning that Yom HaKippurim, when we do the Vidui in our personal Shemona Esrei, we only do it afterwards. But when it comes to the Shatz, when we do the Vidui, we do it in the Emsa Tefillah, we do it in the middle of Shemona Esrei for the Shatz. That we do that whole Arichus, we do it in the middle. So that's the idea that Tzibur Shaini, we also happen to do it by the additions, but these additions were added by the Gaonim also later on. When we talk about Zachrenu L'chaim, El Chafetz B'chaim, and Micha Mocha, right, those items are also added in the Gimel Rishonot and Gimel Achronot, although it has been Mekubal in Klal Yisrael that we do make requests, and we do say those Zachrenu L'chaim, El Chafetz B'chaim, right, Kotveinu B'sefer HaChaim, we do say those in the Gimel Rishonot, and based on this Tosos, that Tzibur Shaini. When it comes to the Tzibur, it's different. We allow these types of insertions. Your question, which was, wait a minute, what do you mean, lo kedi reze, lo kedi reze, elo, shol adam tzachad shumei tefillah, which is that the way it seems to be laid out, according to Rabbi Yeshua, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, is that you give Shevach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you go ahead and ask whatever you want at that point in time. It's not that me'im bracha umbracha, which is shol tzrachav. Shol tzrachav means that you have an open slate and you can go and ask it. So the way Rabbi Yeshua would have learned it is that as soon as you finish the first Rishon Shonot, then you can go and open up and ask whatever you want. Chachamim disagrees. So if you're going to open up and ask whatever you want, that you got to wait until Shomei Tefillah. Ain't kol bracha bracha, fine. But the way Rabbi Yeshua was suggesting is that there was an open slate after you finished the Gilmah Rishonot. And that's what it means, lo k'divrei zeh, to lo k'divrei zeh. Yeah.
The
Chachamim. So that's how we are. All right, so I'm just... Right, to finish that off, is that's why we pass on like Nochum Madi in this place, or Madai in this place, because here he was consistent or correlated with the Chachamim who say that it's Shomei Tefillah. So in this instance, the Loch is like him because we have the Chachamim saying just like him. In the other places, he's like a Dat Yochid that's out in what we call left field, and therefore we do not hold like him in those other instances when it came to the Maisroth, when it came to the Sus, and the other items that we brought down in his name. Mele the angel of the Chachamim. These are the holidays of Dori Chachamim. The two verses we bumped into before, which is Kalanda and Satrunura. We'll see that in the first Memra and the Gemara, what those are, but that's what we bumped into before. Then we have Kartisim, V'yom Ginusaya Shel Malchehem, V'yom Haleida, V'yom Amita, Divrei Rabbi Meir. These are all the holidays.
The day of the coronation of the king, the day of his birthday, and the day of the death of his father, assuming that he is the son of the previous king, and the day of the death of his father will also be a holiday. These are the holidays which we classified before, that the Mishnayah prior to this are talking about that 3 days before, one would have to abstain from certain interactions with these individuals.
When it comes to mita, kol mita sheyesh ba sreifa, yesh ba avodat kochavim. If they burn all the items of the king, then there's avodat kochavim with it. Sheyem ba sreifa, yem ba avodat kochavim. Aval, yom tiklachat, azikno, if it comes to the day that he shaves his beard, oblorito, or his ponytail, v'yom shalabo min hayam, or when he comes back from a large trip out on the ocean, v'yom sheyatza mibet haserim, or he came out of prison, on that day, a person, or ovi kochavim sheyasa mishtel ibno, or an ovi kochavim that makes a party for his child, there the restriction is with that individual, and only on that day. I mean, that's particular to that day, and only that individual. So
Rashi says this applies to any ovi kochavim, Now then the Raiva differentiates between the first items, for instance, cutting the hair, getting the haircut once a year, those items that apply specifically to the king, whereas the mishteh for the bno applies to any nochri broadly.
This is what we saw already. Kalanda is 8 days after the tkufa. And Sachunura is chet yamim lifnei tkufa. It's 8 days prior to the tkufa. Simanech. The sign for this is achor v'kedem tzartani. So again, this is what we used before, is that achor, the later one, ven v'kedem, and then the earlier one. So the later one first means kalanda is the one after the tkufa, and satranura is the one that comes prior to the tkufa. Again, they're 8 days long. Each of these holidays is actually 8 days long. And we said before that there's a gap of 2 days or so in between them, as Tosfos proved before in the Gemara before. So that means not immediately after tkufa, maybe a day or two after and day two before, but within that range of tkufa tevet in the time of December time. So now the Gemara says, Tarno banan. Where do these come from? Where do these holidays come from? The fi shira'a Adam Rishon, yom shemitma'et volech. Adam Rishon sees that the days are getting shorter and shorter. Amar oili, shema bishvil serachti, olam chashuch v'adi. So because I sinned, therefore the world is getting darker and darker. V'chozer l'tov v'vo. It's basically in a slow manner, returning to the original tov v'vo. All he sees is days getting shorter, shorter, and shorter. He has no idea that this is the natural cycle of the world, and he's thinking, oh my goodness, this is a slow punishment that will end up with the days no longer existing. And that's what it means if Hashem says you're going to die. This is the mitot. The world will return to tohu vavohu. Amad v'yashav chet yamim b'ta'anit u'b'tfilah. Then he opens up, he starts saying, "Ta'anit tfilah t'adam to Hashem Baruch Hu." Kevin shirash tkufat tevet. Once he reaches the inflection point of tevet, and now he begins to see that the days are beginning to expand again, no longer contracting. Amar minago shalom hu. He reads it's the natural course of the world. It's nature that the world goes in a manner where it reaches the winter solstice and the days are contracting, and then once you hit the winter solstice, they start to expand again. Salach vasa shmonei yamim tovim. Then afterwards, he begins to celebrate. He has a celebration of 8 days. So that says l'shana acheret. Next year, asan le'elu ve'elu yamim tovim. And so he made them both into Yomim Tovim, because the original first 8 days prior to Tkufat Tevet were Tanit Tfilah, and afterwards were Yom Tov. The following year, he made both of those sets of 8 days as a holidays. Hu kavam l'shem shamayim. He made them l'kodesh baruch hu. V'heim, and then they were hijacked. Kavum l'shem l'odeh kochavim, and then they turned into holidays towards the Ovdei Kochavim, or towards some sort of Avodah Zarah. So the original intent, or the original idea, was an idea of l'shem shamayim, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that it wasn't the mitzvah that was niknasa olam. In the end, somehow the pagan religions picked them up and then changed them into some sort of holiday towards, or directed towards, Avodah Zarah. Right, it might relate to Chanukah. Let's say it's not a big coincidence that the way that we celebrate Chanukah is by lighting candles. At the Chanukah, the representation of Chanukah is or at the time when the winter solstice, when it's the darkest time of the year. So I don't think that's a coincidence. So there is some relationship to Chanukah in that manner. That makes sense according to the one who says that the world was created in Tishrei. Then all he had seen were days that were contracting. He never saw days that were expanding. All he saw were days that were contracting. According to one who says that in Nisan Nivra Olam, even after he sinned, but from the time that he sinned in Nisan, he sees the days are still expanding until the point of the summer solstice, the end of June, and then they only began to contract. So then what was he fearful of? He never saw days this short. I mean that he was created somewhere around the spring equinox, and therefore he never saw days this short. So that's what scared him. Because yeah, sure they were getting bigger, but then all of a sudden they seemed to go and they got shorter than he'd ever seen before, so that's what scared him a little bit. Although in that direction, in that idea that if he really was born in Nisan, it's much harder to argue that all of a sudden he felt that was the mita sheniknasa. I mean, it didn't happen right away. All of a sudden it happened after a duration of time. It makes it less compelling than if it was in Tishrei. Okay, the Gemara says now, Tana Rabbanan, Yom Shnivra Bo Adam Rishon, Kevin Sheshaka Alav Achama, Omar Oli Shebishvil Sarachti Olam Chasuch Ashuch Be'adi. Says again, all these natural occurrences that we take for granted, right? Adam Rishon sees them for the first time, he has no idea what's happening. He says the sun sets on the first day, whether that was on Friday night, meaning that beginning of Shabbos, or whether it was postponed until after Shabbos, Midrash Chazal, that the sun stayed shining all the way through Shabbat, and only the first time the sun set was on Motzei Shabbat, and that's why we light the fire. We make Borei Moresh, because all the Marishan had to create fire for the first time on Motzei Shabbat. So whether this is referencing Friday night or Motzei Shabbos, depending on the Midrashim, there's the first time the sun sets for him. And he says, oi, this is my punishment. He was fasting and crying all night. And Chava was crying opposite him. Then once the daybreak came, at the dawn, broke. Amar minago shel olamu. That's the nature of the world. Amar
v'kriv. When did you say that Tshuva was accepted?
Tshuva and Shiloh accepted, right? Interesting. Guess he had to wait for another day. So he says, Amad v'kriv shor shekanav kodmin leparsutav. He got up and he was makiv a shor whose horns came before its hoofs. So this is, again, based on the Medrash, as Rashi points out over here, the Medrash that Damar Mar in Chulin, Kol Maaseh Bereishit B'Kamotam Nivru'u, that everything in Maaseh Bereishit was not born as a baby and then grew up, but rather they're born in their full grown state, in full mature state. So if that's the case, the horns preceded the Parsultav. Again, the natural birth of a Shor, that would not be the case. His Parsultav would come before his Karnotav. So only if it was born or created in a full-fledged state would his Karnayim come before his Parsultav. So I assume that Shor Shekanav Kodim the Parsultav, it's not clear, but maybe you could use the word Keren over here to mean rays of the sun. So that's means Shor Shekanav Kodim the Parsultav, that is Makriv to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, thanking him for the daybreak, for the sun that rose again, and the idea that the Karnayim represented this new day, or the dawn of the new day. Shneamar, Teitav Hashem Mishor Par, Makrin Mafris. So that it's better to Hashem. Really, here it means that the tefillot are better to Hashem, Mishor Par, from the ox, Makrin Mafris, that has horns and hooves. Sivam Rav Yehuda Meshmuel. So over here we have an interesting midrash. Shor Sheikriv Adam Rishon, Keren Achat Haitalo B'Mitzcho. It was a unicorn. The shor that he was Makrin was actually a unicorn. Shneamar, v'teitav l'Hashem mishor par makrin mafris. This is better to Hashem. The tefillah will be better to Hashem than a shor par makrin mafris that has a horn and hooves. So when it says, wait a minute, it says makrin. Makrin is tarte mashma. Makrin means not one keren, but multiple karnayim, meaning that it's two. So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak, makrin k'tiv. It's written without a yud. The k'tiv in the pasuk is written without a yud, and therefore makrin refers to one horn. Right, and not multiple horns over here. So this animal that he was makriv was this unique animal called this unicorn, and that he was makriv was Ne'akadosh Baruch Hu. And then in Tehillim it says v'teitav Hashem mibor par karin. That unusual animal that Adam Arishon was makriv al mizbeach to Akadosh Baruch Hu, your tefillah is more acceptable or better to Akadosh Baruch Hu than even that short par, that unique item that he gave to Hashem. Your tefillot are even as better than that. Rav Matna Romi she'asta kalando. Romi, we know, celebrates Kalanda. All the cities that surround it are then subjugated to Rome, and they must provide for the celebration of Kalanda. That doesn't mean that they actually celebrate Kalanda. Kalanda is the celebration of Rome. But the cities around it are then forced into bringing gifts and items to the celebration of Kalanda in Rome. What do we do with these ayrot that are smuchota? What is their din? Oton ayrot, asrot, omutarot. Those cities that surround Rome, they are not celebrating Kalanda, but on the other hand, they are bringing gifts, or whatever they use, whatever comes into their possession will be either confiscated or demanded by Rome to be brought up for the celebration of Kalanda. So how do we interact with those cities that are surrounding Rome? Now, Rashi explains over here, which is an interesting issue, which we raised when we talked about the Daf on Friday, which was that over here, what do you have? You have a case where you're interacting with these cities surrounding Rome, and then only then their items, or whatever they have, will then be brought to Rome that will be used for Avodah Zarah. So what do you have? Lifnei de lifnei. Right, which is this issue that's brought up, and that's what the Rabbi Kiv Eger over here says, based on Rashi's explanation of what's going on over here, that we're talking about those cities around used to provide to Rome, and then you're providing to those cities, it becomes a case of lifnei de lifnei. And he says, kaim along, or kashli, ha havi lifnei de lifnei de shori. And we see that's mutar on daf yudalit. When it comes to lifnei de lifnei iver, maybe that is mutar. It might be by the case depends. We spoke about this on Friday. Maybe a differentiation between a Jew and a Ovid Kachabim or Ben Noach here, whether lifnei de lifnei applies. Because for a Jew, the Isra of lifnei iver is still another Isra Torah that you would be in violation of. But he says, I don't understand Rashi's explanation. Doesn't give a alternative necessarily, but he points you to the Gra and Yeridea about this. But you have to come up then with another solution, which is, what's the problem here? Is interacting with them, you must say that there's whatever they take is directed directly to Avodah Zarah. You can't say that then they give it to Rome, and then Rome uses Avodah Zarah, but they themselves, or whatever's there, they're forced to use it towards Avodah Zarah. So there's not one step and not two steps removed. So Rabbi Shimon Levi Amar, Kalanda Asura Lakolhi. That's it. He says it's a universal holiday, and therefore anybody, everything is Asur. Then in Rabbi Yochanan Amar, who we pass him like in Asurella, Deha Bilvad. Only those that celebrate Kalanda, those are restricted, or we were restricted from interacting with them. And the 3 days before, all of those only apply to those that worship, or do the worship of Kalanda. So Kana Kavete de Rabbi Yochanan, a price that supports the position of Rabbi Yochanan, Apo Pishamru Romi Asta Kalanda, even though Romans were the ones either who invented, or who are the ones who promote Kalanda, and all the cities around her are forced into celebrating with her. He atzmai in asura lo v'davivad. Even Rome itself is only asura to those that actually celebrate Kalanda, which means that it's not a universal holiday. Yes, Rome is the main or the central place for the celebration of Kalanda, but that doesn't mean that it's a unanimity of the city or the unanimously the whole city celebrates it. It means there are still parts of the city that don't celebrate it. So there is differentiation like that.
So now the Gemara begins the remainder of the Braita, even though it's not really relevant to us, that says Setra Nalaya, which probably correlates with our mission of Setra Nura. Big heart to seem, which the Gemara will discuss what that is. The Yom Ginusaya Shel Malchehem, which we discussed earlier, is the anointing or the day of the anointing of the king. The Yom Shemlach Bo Melech, the day that the king is anointed. So now, whereas the day of Yom Ginusaya is the coronation of the current king, Yom Shemlach Bo Melech is the son of the present king. If he coronates or puts him into power during the lifetime of the father, then that day also, Yom Shemlach Bo Melech, all those days become holidays.
Fanav asur, acharav mutar. So now these days beforehand are asurim, afterwards are mutarim, which is like the position of the chachamim that we saw, right? We saw machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel, says both before and after. When it comes to the Ovid Chachamim, then only that day itself is asur and that individual. Amar Ravashi, afanam etenina. We have a support to this, Iktani. Our Mishnah supports this position. Why? Yom tiglachat zikno ublorito. The day that he shaves his beard or cuts off his ponytail. Yom shalah bo minayam. Or the day that he comes out of the ocean and he wants to thank his God. Yom shiatsa bo minbeit asurim. Again, that he was freed from prison. Ein asur elo oto yom bilvad. The oto aish. So only that day and that person. Bishlom oto yom lafuka lefanav lacharav. What does it come to teach? Oto yom. Oto yom means not before, not afterwards, which is what we just said in the Megama. What does Oto Aish teach you? Must come to exclude those that are subjugated or under the control of that individual. So Shema Mina, like Rabbi Yochanan, when it comes to Rabbi Yochanan, this idea that only Ovdeha Bilvad, only those that worship the Avodah Zarah are restricted. Those that are mishubad to the city, or mishubad to that individual, are not in the restriction of not transacting or not interacting with them. So this, in our Mishnah, that Oto Ish and Oto Yom Bilvad comes to teach us that there are limitations to who's restricted. Limitation is to those that worship, and to the day that they worship. So that means that when it comes to Rabbi Yochanan's statement before, that it's only restricted in Asura Lovdea Bilvad, that means not those that are mishubadim, right? And also that those that are not part of the celebration, even though they may be found in the city. So that is supported by the Lashon of our Mishnah. So Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Yisrael shebechutz laretz, ovdei avodat chachamim b'tarahim. That those that are in chutz laretz is an unbelievable statement, and probably very true, which is that those that are in chutz laretz are worshipping avodah zarah in a clean way. They think they're doing okay, they think they're fine, but they're really worshiping Avodah Zarah. Why? Ketzad, Oved Kochavim Shasam Ishtel Livno. You have a non-Jew worshiping Avodah Zarah that makes a celebration for his son. Vizimin Kol Yudim Shibiro. He's nice, they have nice relations with their neighbors. And he invites all the Jews in the city to join him in the party. The Jews say, we can't go to the party. It's not kosher. How can we attend the party? They don't have kosher food. So I say, no problem. We'll cater it in. We'll cater in the kosher food. So they get their own food, right? Their own drinks, their own dishes, right? Then their own service. Right? So Omeid Lifam and their own shamash is working for them. Malei aleihem akotuv kilu achlu mizivchei meitim. The pasuk looks or reads, says to them as if you are eating mizivchei meitim and you're participating in the avodah zarah. Here they are. They're giving a thanks to his avodah zarah for his child, the birth of his child, or his child reading some landmark or some milestone in his life. And that milestone, he comes to celebrate worship of Zarah. So he invites the Jews, say, we can't eat from this. We'll have our kosher food catered in and we'll be there. Meantime, he's doing this as a celebration day of Zarah, and they're joining in. They're eating there with their kosher food. Shenemar, how do I know that? Because it says, what's going to happen? You're going to become friendly with those around you, with the nations that you conquer. And then, he'll call you and you'll eat from his zebach. Ve'ema ad achil. So he says, why don't we say that you're only restricted until ad achil, until you eat? And the pasuk should say, v'achalta mizivcho, you will eat from his zebach. My v'karo locha. What does it mean, v'karo locha? They will call you, and then v'achalta mizivcho. He says, mishak kriya. From the time that he calls you already, there's a restriction. But therefore, the problem here is not simply that you eat from his zebach. What here? You think the Jews think they're, we're not eating from the zebach, the zivchei meitim, we're not participating in it. Therefore, we're okay. The answer is no. If he calls you to participate, even though you come, but don't actually join in the meal or eat from the zivchei meitim, you're still violating the restriction of avodah zarah. And that's what Rabbi Shmuel says. Yisrael shebechutz la'aretz are violating b'tahara, they're violating exactly this problem. They go and they attend, but they are metaheret by saying, we have our own kosher food, we don't eat, we have our own special section, but that doesn't do the job. Now you are participating in a service or something that is directed towards avodah zarah, directed towards something that we don't otherwise believe in, and therefore you're considered to be participating in that, and you're considered to be in violation of avodah zarah. Bekar lecha, bechal temizivcho. Hilkach, therefore, kotzlatin yomim, ben amarlei machmat hilula, ben lo amarlei machmat hilula, asur. If it's within 30 days of the celebration, I mean, now, the celebration here is whether maybe even a marriage celebration over here. The Hilula in general refers to a marriage celebration, but it also could reference back to this celebration of his son. But anytime he has some sort of celebration, the assumption is in with 30 days of that celebration, any celebration that he invites you to, that is asur, because that is within the context of him giving thanks. Bikan ve'lech, from beyond 30 days, if he specifically states because of the celebration, either because of his wedding or because of the celebration of the milestone of his child, if he says it's not because of that or designated for that, then it's mutar. So you see this, we have these ideas that certain holidays or certain items influence more than just the day themselves. You know, we have many times that the 7 days is a significant time, and then 30 days is a significant period, whether it comes to avelus, whether it comes to marriage, whether it comes to a yoledet. It is considered a sphere of influence or a sphere of significant time that is still connected to the original act. So in that sense, you also have over here that when he, within the first 30 days, we assume still be within the sphere of influence or the celebration of this milestone of this marriage. Otherwise, afterwards, then it's only if he specifically states it. So Mar says, "V'chiyam alei machmat yilula ad emat." Until when he says it's still about the original separation, how long? Amar Papa treisar yarchishata, until 1 year, 12 months. So again, this idea of significance when you're talking about avelus, talking about 7 days, then 30 days, then 12 months. Right? 12 months is considered to be a period of time that's still, again, affected by that event. So up to 12 months. Umikara, right? Meimat asur. From before the celebration, how long before is it considered that he's already preparing for the event and then you can't be a part of it, you can't transact with him? So Rashi claims this is when they put the hops in to make the beer. So once they start making the beer already, that's already something problematic. So Tosa says, I don't understand. We never find in the Gemara that you make beer from hops. The only way they make the beer in the Gemara is tamarim, is through date. They only had date beer. They didn't have beer from hops. So he says, I don't think that makes any sense. Ramasari be asinte. So Tovzar is the second interpretation that Rashi brings down, which is that at the time of marriage, or as close to the time of marriage, they used to plant se'orim. They used to plant barley that grows very quickly. And then they used to bring it, once it grew to full maturation, they used to bring it before the Chatan and Kala, and they used to say Shevach to them, that just like these Seorim grow quickly and expand quickly, so too, you should be Pruvu, you should be fertile and have a home that expands and Zera that expands like these barley. So that's what it means. Busare Basinte is that they planted the Seorim. At that point in time already, you're within the context of the wedding because they're already preparing for the wedding at that point in time. Is it really true after 12 months it's considered outside of the sphere, outside of this celebration, you don't have to worry about it? After 12 months had passed, he heard that he was still giving thanks to his God, Uparish, and he was refused to eat, he refused to join him in the meal. So he says, Shani Rabbi Yitzchak, Breid Rabbi Misharshia, Dodom Choshuvu. When it comes to Rabbi Yitzchak, Breid Rabbi Misharshia, he's different because he's an Adam Choshuv. So Adam Choshuv we've seen before, we saw this earlier in the Gemara, that Adam Choshuv has a different din or a different significance. Because his participation is something of significance, and therefore the Ovid Chachvim is reawakened to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that this individual comes and participates with him. So the Adam Choshuv gives him such hanoah that he comes to join, that again it opens up his shevach to the Avodah Zarah, and therefore even when it comes to Rav Yitzchak Breid Misharshia, over there he didn't participate because he was afraid that it was still connected or would give him enough hanoah that he would connect it back to the original event. The other possibility of Adam Choshev here, which is I don't think is the interpretation, is that the Rav Misharshia was an Adam Choshev and he felt it was inappropriate for him to go and eat with this Ovid Chachavim even after 12 months. Because maybe a Marasayan, whatever the issue was, but he felt it was inappropriate. I don't think that's the simplest way to read it over here. As Rashi says, Adam Chashuv is a machamino, that he got a lot of pleasure from it, and that reawakened his feelings of thanks. Okay, Vekartasim. What is this holiday of Kartasim? My Kartasim. I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm Rabbi Shmuel, Yom Shetafsa Bom Romi Malchut. It was the day that Rome ascended to become the superpower of the world when they defeated the Greeks. That separates these two items. There were two times that Rome had successful battles. Achat bimei Cleopatra Malkato. Right, Cleopatra the queen, they succeeded in conquering Alexandria of Mitzrayim. They had success down south and capturing parts of Africa where the Roman Empire expanded down there. And Bechashatafsa bimei Yivanim, in the time, the Greeks, which was the original ascendancy of the Romans, is when they actually win the battles against the Greeks. And those are the 2 days that they celebrate. And Tosfos brings down here from a Rebbe Shemaya that in Lashon Levan, in Greek, the word, if you take the etymology of the word, he says that keret is a lashon of tfisav, grabbing, and sis is a lashon of shtaim, is two. So it's the second grab. It's the second time that they ascended to power. And that's what Kartasim is over here. Is that the second time? I mean, the first time is Yom Shetafsa Malchut, Romi is from the Greeks, and then the second time is when they defeated Cleopatra, and they took over those areas down in the south. That the Romans had waged 32 battles against the Greeks, and they were not able to conquer, not able to succeed against the Greeks, until they had the Jews come and join them and be a party to the battle. This is the condition they made. This is the agreement they made. I mean, the alliance. If the Jews are going to join them to fight the Greeks, what was the alliance? From us, the king, if the Romans have the king, or the Caesar, or the kingship, then you will have the hyparchy. Hyparchy, whether that means the governorship, or like the viceroy, whatever it is, you would have the second position of power. If from you, I mean the Jews, are the king, then we will have the second or the viceroy. So, Shalchulu Romai Yivanai. The Romans said to the Yivanim, Arayidna Avidna Bekravo. And until this point in time, you've defeated us in battle. Hashta Navid Bedino. Okay, fine. If you want to go to war, you're right. You've won until this point in time. Now we're coming with din. We're telling you this is what's going to be. Why? Here's the argument. The logical argument. Margalit ve'evin tova. If you're talking about some sort of pearl and a precious stone, izumen yasib basis l'chaveiro. Which one would you mount on the other? Would you mount the precious stone on the pearl or the pearl on the precious stone? Shachlu margalit ve'evin tova. It's clear that the pearl should be the base and you should mount the precious stone on top of the pearl because the pearl, the margalit, is not worth as much as the ve'evin tova. Ve'evin tova Right, if you have this, another Eben Tovah, two precious stones, Eben Tovah, the Inach, right, that the Eben Tovah will be a base to the Inach, which would be a more precious stone, or something that was of even more value, which actually says is Nofech, which is Nofech Tzafir Ve'alom, which are part of the stones that were used in the Choshen. Inach v'sefer Torah. This Inach and Sefer Torah is a man yasim basis l'chaviro. Inach, the most precious stone will be a base for the Sefer Torah. Shachuluhu and Cain, Anon Sefer Torah Gaban. We got the Sefer Torah. Yisrael ba'adan. So everybody Yisrael's with us. Kafuluhu. They agreed or they were subjugated at that point in time. And the fact that the Romans had this alliance with the Jews allowed them to defeat the Greeks. Esther v'shichnin, for 26 years, kamalu b'em notayu, b'hadei Yisrael. The Romans kept their alliance with the Jews and their agreement that they would share the power. Mikam v'elech ishtabdubu. After that point, they threw it off and they decided to subjugate the Jews. So Gemara says, mi'ikara my darush, ulusof my darush. What were they thinking originally? And what did they think in the end? Mikaro darush nisav elcha velcha lenegdecha. When Esav comes to meet Yaakov, and then Yaakov's journey home, he says, listen, you know what? I'm going to accompany you on the way. So that's what they thought. In the beginning, they say, yeah, you know what? We'll be with the Jews. We'll be on even keel with the Jews. Ulusof darush, at the end of the year, doresh, yavor na adoni lifnei avdo. But Yaakov says to Esav, you go before us. We can't keep pace with you. You go before us, our seer. So therefore they said, ah, that's the Sof Darush, is that no, we have to go first. We have to be the leaders. So, where do we know this from? So we're not going to get there all the way there today, but we're going to set it up so that we have the information to do it. When Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, became ill, Rabbi said to repeat for us two or three things that you said in the name of your father. So he says, these are the three things. 180 years before the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, that's when the Romans came and conquered or subjugated Bnei Israel. That's one. Number two is, Peshana, Achlo Kharava Bait, Gazru Tumal Eretz Amim, Vakle Zuchuchit. This Gazerah of the Chachamim, that the Eretz Amim had a din of Tumah, and Kle Zuchuchit, glass, which otherwise is Torah, they were gozer on that it also has Tumat Kelim. That happened 80 years before the Churban Abayit. Memshana, 40 years before the Churban Abayit, Galta Sanhedrin Yashivala Bechanut. The Sanhedrin went into Galut and sat in the Chanut. Chanut might have been on Har Abayit, but moved themselves out of the Lishkat of Gazit at that point in time. Lamai Yochutso. What's the nafkamina? Why did they do this? So Amar Yitzchak bar Avdimi Lomar. Shlo donu dine knasot. You need smuchin to be done dine knasot. So therefore, when the Sanhedrin left, the Shishkarazit, there weren't any smuchim. But it says, dine knasot? What do you mean talking about dine knasot? Bam Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Baram Zachor Yish Lotov. We saw this Gemara in Sanhedrin, right in the beginning of Sanhedrin, when I came to Smicha over there. Rav Yehuda ben Baba Shmo. Shemalayu nishtachu dine knasot Mishrael. Had it not been from him, we would have forgotten all the dine knasot. The Gemara says, nishtachu? The Gersinu, they forgot them. Learn it. What do you mean you forgot it? You could study it. Elo botlu dinei knasot Yisrael. There would no longer be any dinei knasot Yisrael. Why? Because gazru melchut harisha gaz gezeirah kol sumeich yareig v'chol nismach yareig. Anybody who sumeich, meaning gives smicha, will be killed, and anybody who receives smicha will be killed. V'ir shesumchim ba, the ear in which the smicha was conferred, techarev, it will be destroyed. And any, the periphery or any area on which the smicha is given will be uprooted. Ma'asar Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba. Halach b'yashav ben shnei arim. He went and sat between two mountains. Gedolim, two large mountains. Ben shnei da'irel, between two large cities. Ben tchumei shabbat, between two tchumim. Meaning that he was outside the realm or sphere of any city. Ben usha l'shaparim. Between usha and shaparim is the location. B'samach sham chamisha zkenim. And he conferred smicha to five zkenim. Who were they? Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Lazar ben Shamo is the fifth, and then Rabbi Avia Musif, after Rabbi Nechemiah, sixth one, which is Rabbi Nechemiah. Came in, Shukiru Behem Oivim, they got wind of the smicha over there. Amalem Benai Rutsu, says, get out of here. He says to the Talmidim, leave, run. Amrulo Rabbi Vatama Te'alecha, he says, what's going to happen to you? He was old already, he couldn't run. So he says, Amalem Arini Mutalif Nehem Ke Evan. I'm like a large stone that nobody can turn over. Here it says lulunayot. In the Gemara and Sanhedrin it says gumbiot. But so whether those are daggers or spears, but he was punctured by 300, again, which is a lashon guzman de Gemara, but they murdered him through many daggers or many spears at him. Basula gufoki kibara, they made him like a sieve. So because of him, you can see that the knasot continued. But what do you see from that? It had nothing to do with lishkat hagazir, nothing to do with the continuance of the Sanhedrin sitting inside the Mikdash, or partly inside of the Mikdash. It has to do with smicha. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava did, was he was able to continue smicha that allowed for dinei knasot to be adjudicated. So now my Yisrael, lo tema dinei knasot, el shlo donu dinei fashot. That's the dinei fashot. Why? My time, it came to chazu dinei fishe luchu rotskim. Because they saw that there were tons of murderers happening, lo yachlo de meidan, and they can no longer adjudicate, or they can no longer try all these cases. Amru mutav nigle mi makom makom. Better that we move out of the lishkat gazit. So all these murders wouldn't be culpable. I mean, that we can't keep up the pace with the murders. We can't put everybody to death. It's just going to be impossible. So let's move out. So dinei nefashot bin nitbatlim. Dichtiv, it says in last week's parsha, Pesha Shoftim, Vasida api adavar sheyagid lacham in makom ahu. Right, that you have to do based on what they say there. And by Zakin Mamre, it says mi makom ahu, that they put him to death. When it comes to Zakin Mamre, Mamre shal makom goreim, that the location is what's goreim. That means that in the Lishkat Gazit, you have to be sitting by the Mikdash. Tosfos says, even though Yerushalayim is called Hamakom, Asher Yivchar Hashem, that's not necessarily the Makom here. The Makom here literally means in the Mikdash. And that's the only time that you can be doing that. You need Sanhedrin Samuch L'Shechina. You have to show that the Sanhedrin gets its Samchut from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And therefore, only when the Sanhedrin is inside the Lishkat Gazit is it classified as being the Sanhedrin Agadol, and Dinei Fashot are Nidonim. Because even the Sanhedrin Ketanah, who can do Dinei Fashot, they only draw their power from the Sanhedrin Agdolah. And therefore, if the Sanhedrin Agdolah is on its location, the Sanhedrin Ketanah can no longer be done Dinei Fashot. Even though they moved to Chanut, was on Har HaBayit, they were away from the Shekhinah. If they're away from the Shekhinah, there's no longer any Dinei Nefashot. We didn't get to this 26 years, but that's the next memra that he brings down from his father. The Gemara will discuss that and get to that conclusion. So we'll stop over here.